You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Take me to the water, take me to the sea.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we wade through the water of the Word of God.
Well, last time we left off and we were looking at Acts 21:10-11. Let me read it to you because it's kind of interesting. It fits right in what we're talking about. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Lord, shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles?" So right there, Paul's getting a heads up. He knows that when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to get arrested. He's going to get beaten. He's going to have all these things happen to him. And there's nothing he can do about it. In fact, you know, Agabus is telling him, this is what's going to happen. Okay, and Paul, what's he do? It doesn't bother him. He goes and witnesses anyway, because that's what he was called to do. And so that's something we have to keep in mind as Christians, because the persecution of Christians is coming. It's already started. I can list many examples of persecution that are occurring in America, but they're mostly subtle. But boy, when you go around the world, the persecution is really evident everywhere, especially in Islamic countries. So now I want to read another verse, and this is from Acts also. And this happened when the apostles were actually arrested. And in Acts 5:34, it says, "But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while." So what was happening, they were arresting the apostles for preaching Christ. And he said, "Let them go outside for a while. I want to talk to you guys because this is important." And this is what he had to say. "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." And that's one of the things we want to be wary of. Okay, we don't be fighting against God. You know, these things are going to happen. We're going to go through persecution. That is already in Scripture. All the prophecies that were ever made in the past came true, and those that are for the future are going to literally come true. And so another aspect, and I brought this up a little bit last time, but it's so important I want to reiterate it. And that's this verse from Matthew 6:34. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, I had to look up who mammon was. It's actually a Greco-Roman god. And this god, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and he was a man that was standing. He had the head of a vulture, and then in his right hand, he was holding a chain. And in his left hand, he was holding a rod, and on the rod was a string, and coming at the end of the string was a bunch of golden coins. Okay, and again, you know, we see that, you know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of the money that's the problem. So we see this, and what's in front of the worshiper, in front of mammon, we have a man bowing down and worshiping him. So we see, you know, I remember one of the things that were interesting. At Oregon Ridge, we had a trail, and the trail actually was about a 3/4 of a mile long, and the trail was actually old logging roads. And what happened was, during the 30s, the 1930s, we had the chestnut blight hit, and about half of the trees in the eastern part of the United States were American chestnuts, and they were literally wiped out. What happened was, they brought over an Oriental chestnut, which was basically a smaller version of the of our American chestnut, and what happened was it was contained in it was a fungus that actually wiped out our entire American chestnut population. Well, they were dragging these trees out of the woods on skids, and the skids were pulled by teams of oxen. And when they did, it exposed roots, and one of the roots that were exposed was the root of this big beech tree. And you could see all the roots. The roots run deep. In fact, half of a tree is actually underwater. So we want to remember this. And the other corollary to the love of money being the the root of all kinds of evil is power. In fact, Lord Acton said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then someone built upon this, and he said this, and this is, I think, more true than even that. It is said that power corrupts, but actually, it's more true that power attracts the corruptible. The sane are usually attracted by other things than power. So we see this in its aspect. And so the verses that really we want to emphasize on, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and our weapons of warfare are not carnal. And we need to be alert because the Satan is the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. And don't forget, he's the god of this world. We see this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And also we see in Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We see he is evident as the prince of the power of the air. And, you know, we see these conflicts constantly. And, you know, we talked about how constantly in a previous message I gave, which is about dialectic materialism, how the government is trying to, CIA is trying to put one group against the other. Because if you're doing that, they're not concentrating on the elite that are actually running everything. And one of the quotes that I got from President Lincoln, he said during the Civil War, he said, both read the same Bible and pray to the same God. And each invokes his aid against the other, okay? We have Christians killing Christians during the Civil War here. And, you know, this is one of Satan's tools. He's constantly trying to get people against each other. And a good thing that came out and I mentioned was Dr. Seuss's Star-Bellied Sneetches, where the Star-Bellied Sneetches were so proud of themselves, the others didn't have stars. And finally, Mr. Fix-It comes to town, and he puts stars on the ones that didn't have any. But then the original Star-Belly, they get upset and they have them removed. And each time Mr. Fix-It is making money off the deal. And that's exactly a good example of the Star-Belly Sneetches of what actually happens. That's why we shouldn't be fighting Republicans against Democrats. We shouldn't be fighting black against white and cowboys against Indians and so forth. We need to really basically know that the man behind the curtain is not the Democratic Party. It's Satan. Okay, and in Matthew 10:26, we read, don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known. So we're telling you, we're going to see all this play out. We're going to understand it, and as we get deeper and deeper into it, it's going to be more and more relevant and obvious to us. And, you know, we have to remember that what's going to happen in the end. Remember, then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. That's in Micah 4:3. And we know also that what's going to happen in the end, the wolf shall lay down with the lamb, the leopard shall lay down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That's in Isaiah 11:6. So we know where we're going. We know the end story is good. And so, you know, and we have a big problem because, you know, we're talking about basically exousia, about how our government is going to use laws against Christians, against believers. And one of the things that we realize is we have to be aware of this verse in Romans 13:1 because it says, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And, you know, one of the things that tells us, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So we have this problem. And, you know, I really was kind of basically almost stunned and appalled by what happened in Georgia with the two senators. Because you remember when the election first took place, both Republicans had won, but it was by a narrow margin, so they had to have to redo it again. And of course, tremendous money was poured in, and of course, the two Republicans then lost with the recount that they did. Okay, this really bothered me because we would never have a lot of these laws come into effect today, like the Inflation Reduction Act, if they wouldn't have actually went back to being Democrats. Okay, so but God's in charge of this. So, in other words, remember, we're looking at the verses that we're talking about, that all these things are ordered by God. And I think it's all pushing us towards what's going to happen and we have no control over. And that's, we're going to have this one world order. We're going to have this great tribulation. We're going to have the battle of the Armageddon. These are all going to come. So, you know, we have to remember, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So remember also, when it comes down to it, yes, we're to be respectful of the governing authorities, but then we have to remember what happened in Acts 5:29 when they came to Peter, and this is what he and the other apostles, and this is what they answered. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So if it comes down to it, if it's something that God wants us to do, okay, if it's something in the book of the Word, the Bible, and they're telling us otherwise, we then stand against them in that part. And, you know, we have to be very careful. I remember it's kind of something to me, it seemed kind of humorous, but it happened in Luke 51 to 56. And that time of a time approached for him to be taken up. Jesus was going to go to heaven. And so they sent messengers on ahead, and they went into Samaria village to see and make things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because they were heading for Jerusalem next. Remember, Samaritans and Jerusalem at odds with each other. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked the Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them all? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. And he said to his disciples, let's go to another village. So that time, Jesus was not there for judgment. He was there to bring the word, to show his power through his sacrificial death on the cross. Okay, so we're going to get into this image that we saw before, which is the image of this beast with seven heads and 10 crowns. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. We sort of identified this before Egypt. There's seven heads. Okay, the first head is Egypt. It's now gone. Then Assyria. It's now gone. Babylon, now gone. Media-Persian, now gone. Greece, now gone. And then Rome. But we see the seventh beast. And this basic is one that basically takes the look of Rome. If you look, for example, of what we believe the seventh beast is, it's really the Great Britain. And, of course, in all its young lines, which includes America, Canada, Australia, et cetera. In fact, it says that this particular head was slain, okay, in Revelation 13:3. It says, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. And I think this is what happened with the Roman Empire. Because, you know, if you look at you don't only have to go to Washington, D.C. and look at the Roman architecture. You go to Britain, and I was there in London not long ago, and all the buildings, especially concerning the government, are basically right out of Roman architecture. So we see that they're basically the revised Roman Empire in a way. Okay, so we then see something else, and we're getting into this. This is kind of scary in a way. It did really bother me a little bit when I read it, but I'm going to go into it because this is what the Word of God says. Okay, and this is the man of sin, the beast out of the earth. Now, remember, there's a beast out of the sea, and I believe that beast out of the sea is a worldwide system, a new world government. And I think really you can easily see that occurring in terms of the United Nations. Okay, but then there's this other beast. So you have Satan powering everybody, and then you got these two beasts. One beast, world power, okay, the new world order, the United Nations. But the other one comes out of the earth. And so let me read Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So we see this thing. And remember, again, the power that exists is a legal power that Satan has. It's a legal power within the system. Okay, and again, don't forget that exousia, legal power, probably one of the greatest examples of really a misplaced legal power was what happened during World War II. In fact, if you remember back, what happened was the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and in response, there was an executive order made by then President Roosevelt. And he said, basically, I want all of the Japanese people living in America to be put in concentration camps. They not only were put in concentration camps, they lost all their wealth, lost their homes. Those that had businesses lost them. And then what happened was, this went before the Supreme Court. After the war had been moving towards a conclusion where the Allies would win, a particular Japanese man who was incarcerated and lost everything, he brought a lawsuit, and it got all the way to the Supreme Court. So it's a final decision, the Supreme Court, the court of last resort. Okay, his name was Kamatsu, And he basically brought the charge that, hey, we shouldn't have been, this executive order should never have been given. You can't just arrest an ethnic group, a group of people, and put them all in concentration camps in America and take everything they have away. Well, this went to the Supreme Court, and unfortunately, they said yes. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 and said, yes, the president and Congress acted legally. When it comes to national security, the federal government can act as they see necessary to protect the American people. In other words, all that a president has to do today is declare a particular group, such as Christians, they can declare them as a threat, okay? And if they do, they can incarcerate them, put them in concentration camps. This is a good example. In fact, another example, I couldn't help but laugh as the COVID was running down in California. They opened up the casinos but wouldn't allow churches to open, okay? And this had to go to court also. So we see the first beast coming out of the sea, the United Nations, and the second beast coming out of the earth. Now, remember we talked before about the power of our military. Remember, this is a world power, the second beast that comes out of the land. And we know that America, when it was first discovered, it was very partially settled. Only some Native Americans were there, not many at all. And so rising out of the land rather than the sea is always representative of great multitudes. So we see them coming out, and you know that America is a world power. We already talked about it. In fact, we see when it comes down to making an example from heaven, we see the two only times that nuclear weapons were ever fired on the population was during World War II when we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Fire from heaven. We can see the military of the United States is the most powerful on the earth. Our Navy is by and far the most powerful. In fact, when it comes to basically aircraft carriers, which include a whole bunch of ships and so forth, screening ships and other ships around them, we have 11. The closest country to us is Great Britain with 2. China has 1, and Russia has 1, France has 1. So really, we're really the world power. So we're a world power. We talked before about how America has 156 of the 179 countries have troops, U.S. troops there. We're a dominant world power. We're really dominant. So when it comes to Revelation and the image that actually was witnessed by John, let me read it to you. It's Revelation 13:11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth as a beast has already been shown to the symbol of a power or an empire. And we see he had 2 horns. The second beast coincides in the time of receiving the first beast's deadly wound. And guess when that was? 1798. What happened in 1776? And I think when he's looking, remember, he's looking at this beast and he doesn't recognize it. You know, he's recognized the goat, he recognized the leopard, he recognized the lion, all these animals he recognized. But here he just says a second beast. He doesn't recognize it, but it has 2 horns. Well, if you think about it, what animal that's in America today has 2 horns that he probably was looking at? And that's the American bison. Remember, he had no examples of an American bison in the Middle East, in Europe. They're basically a creature that evolved and lived in America alone. And, you know, even in America, the American bison is a representative, really, of America in many ways. Remember, there were literally millions of them in the Great Plains. Now, I want to relate something because of what's going to happen in the end. And there's a town, and this is the name of the town. It's just on the border between the United States and Canada. The town is called Head Smashed In Buffalo Jump. Wow, what a name. Okay, it's very close to the United States, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And what happened was, here, and this was going on for approximately 5,500 years. They have archaeological evidence that for 5,500 years, Native Americans were there. And one of the things they did at first was they dressed up like coyotes and wolves. And they would basically scare the buffalo into a cliff. And they would fall over the cliff. And the squaws were down at the bottom. And after they died, they would come and butcher them. And so, you know, in a way, this is what America is being done to America today. They're basically scaring us and hurting us for the final death as we fall over the cliff. Okay? So, and then, of course, later, after the horse was introduced into America, they were riding horses and doing the same, driving them over a cliff. So let's take a look now at a detail of the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It's the largest investment into addressing climate change ever done by any country. Okay. And one of the things I want to zero in on is the IRS. And the reason I want to do that, and we want to basically do what we've been doing with the other stories that we looked at, the other groups, FBI, CIA, and so forth, and look at them in terms of doing a background check. Let's see what their history is. So one of the things that's really scary is how powerful the IRS already is and how powerful it's going to become. Because basically, they're going to spend about $90 billion and they're going to broaden it with 87,000 new ultra-left-wing Democrats are going to be in charge of this. Okay, and so the IRS is always in its history been used as a weapon against those that oppose it. So we want to take a look at that. And one of the things we want to do is take a look basically at how it all started. Why is the IRS, why is the problem with having 87,000 new IRS agents? And the reason is because the IRS just recently, during the Obama administration, basically targeted Christians and conservatives and the Tea Party. What they did was they did it through the 501(c). They stopped issuing them to Christians. They stopped. They began not returning the taxpayer money for the refunds that they were to get. And this went on. And actually, while it was going on for a long time, it kept being raised up, and people would say, "What's happening here? Why can't we get our 501(c)?" And President Obama kept denying it. No, there's no such thing. It's not happening. Okay, but then what happened is they finally went to court, to the Supreme Court, and finally they were found guilty of actually doing it. They were targeting Christians, targeting conservatives. And one of the things you have to worry about in terms of legalities, in terms of exousia, is in the case of the IRS, that you're guilty until proven innocent. Now, I went through an audit that took an entire day. I was in the IRS agent's office for 8 straight hours. And this was the first time I was audited. Now, the reason I was audited is because I hadn't paid taxes for a while. And the reason I was following the forms, but because I had so many deductions. And basically, I was contributing a lot more than a tithe. Plus, I had 5 children. And so for years, I had no tax due to me. Any tax that I did pay was returned to me. And so they wanted to do an audit on me. And so this went on for 8 hours. I had a giant box of every single receipt because being a Christian, I was responsible to make sure I was obeying the law, and I had them all. And he sat there going through every single receipt for 8 hours. And then at the end, he was getting really angry with me, and I was just sitting there giving him, when he asked me for this receipt or that receipt, I was handing it to him. And then at the end, when he said, "Okay, we're finished now," and I said, "Well, you know, you seem very angry with me." I said, "Why are you angry?" And he said, "Well, my job is to find mistakes and to find more money for the government. And I just wasted an entire day and got nothing extra." So he was angry with that. So you can see that when you hire 87,000 new IRS agents who really are looking at the fact that they need to justify their day by making sure they're finding more money, you can see that this is going to be a directed process, and they're going to basically look for ways to raise more money. And this is one of the few organizations that actually go out looking for things to accuse people of. For example, you have a firefighter. They don't go looking for fires. They wait till they're called, and they go out and service the fire. Look at paramedics. They don't go out looking to treat people. Basically, paramedics are waiting to be called, and they come in and help people as they need. Now, the one organization that at times has been used wrongly is the police. They actually sometimes go out looking for people to find. In fact, there was a big incident that occurred in Detroit. In Detroit, they came out, the police department had every scout car is required to make at least 3 traffic stops per shift and issue at least 6 tickets. Now, this is a quota. And really, a lot of people, when they found out about it, these are actually illegal. You can't tell the policeman that each day he's got to give six tickets out. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the IRS. So we want to be very careful about it. And by the way, that the decision that was made finally with the IRS was a victory for the people that were fighting them. And they got 400 different groups, Christian groups, got money from the government because of what they had done. And it's funny because some of the answers that gave after this happened are kind of humorous to look at. And we'll get into that in a moment. But I want to call your attention, and if you ever want to get into the background of the IRS, there was a great book written. It was called To Harass Our People. It was written by Congressman George Hansen and also with Larry Anderson. And it was the story of the IRS. In the book, and it's really amazing some of the things they bring up, the IRS has had armed searches. They have a hit list. They discriminate against people. They are spying on you. They're trying to trap you. All kinds of intimidation, all kinds of incursions, all kinds of reprisals, spying on social activities. This is part of the history of the IRS. Remember the quote that I gave you before, which came from William Casey, former director of the CIA. He said, "I know our disinformation program is complete when everything America public believes is false." So we see that the IRS has in the past been an agent that targets people. So let's look at one of the issues that occurred in 2005. It was called the black liquor incident. And basically what black liquor was, the IRS had said, listen, we're going to give you a 50-cent per gallon credit if you blend fuels with your blend fuels with gasoline and diesel. So what happened was the international paper looked at this as a great windfall. What they did was they began taking their black liquor, which is this slew that comes through creating paper, and they began blending it with oil, and they were given 50% per gallon of doing this. So what normally was their waste, they ended up getting paid $71 million in a one-month period of a rebate the IRS was giving them. It's interesting because one of the trucks carrying this black liquor exploded, and you can see cars everywhere were covered with this black liquor. So we can see there's been former problems with the IRS, and the one who originated all using the IRS as a weapon was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In fact, even his son, Eliot Roosevelt, said that my father originated the concept of employing the IRS as a weapon against for political retribution. And he used it, Franklin, he used it against William Randolph Hearst. He used it against Louisiana Governor Huey Long. And even a radio, Christian radio priest, Charles Gocklin, he used this as a weapon. So this is their history. They do have a history, and it started right with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And even President Kennedy, he started what was called the Ideological Organization Project, where he was targeting basically counter groups, groups such as the conservatives, because, of course, he was a Democrat. Okay, so one of the things we see in terms of this, we see exactly what happened with the an organization that came out of it, which was called ConIntelPro, and we'll get into that next time.
As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.
Death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ. The earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened sky.